Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen.
Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio, back with you on another Thursday. For those of you who would like to call in, the guest call-in number is toll-free 877-697-9725. And for those down in the LA area, it is 424-258-9337. So welcome, and today we're going to be exploring loving the dips, and we're not talking guacamole here, although I do love a good guacamole dip. What we're talking about is the idea that people get very wrapped up sometimes in the idea of failing at something, or, oh man, here I messed up again. Really, when we look back over our lives, for the most part, the stuff we learn the most from are the things that we messed up on. It wasn't about, wow, I succeeded, I did this wonderfully and beautifully, and I got this profound, deep, you know, growth out of it. And while I'm not saying that isn't possible, really, when we look back, it's like, man, it was only because I messed up so bad with this that I know that that is not something that works and that's not something I want to do. So as we look back on, you know, those milestones in our lives, you know, some of which are great and awesome and others were pretty hard and in some cases tremendously hard. There may be things that as you look back over in your history, you don't even want to think about, because I know I have those moments in my life when I look back and it's like, okay, can we skip that part? And it's through observing and really acknowledging what it is those difficult, hard times and even those difficult, hard people did to help us move forward. And if you have, you know, if you'd like to go into the chat room, producer Kina, my goddess of efficiency, will be in the chat room moderating. So if you want to go hang out in there, and just to let you know, because I keep forgetting to say it, after the show I will be checking into the chat room. So if you have questions or something that you would like to go over, hang out, and I will do my best to answer them. So let's talk about those dips in our lives. What is it that they do to our minds, bodies, and spirits? Is it something that became a physical challenge? Sometimes things happen, an illness comes up or an injury comes up that takes us out of everything. And it's just frustrating because maybe it's something where we just need to stay very quiet and very still and very patient for a prolonged period of time. And that is not fun, especially if it's a process that involves, you know, you're uncomfortable, there may be pain involved with it, and there's that place of, oh man, you know, what did I do to deserve this? And I really find it interesting that it goes in that place. And while there is that philosophy that really everything that happens in our lives are things that somehow on a mental, physical, or spiritual level, we ourselves set into motion through our thoughts, through our manifestation, and that somehow it's all on us. And while I can resonate with that to a certain degree, I do believe that there are points in the universe that things happen, and sometimes bad things happen. And it's not about what you did or didn't do to deserve it, to bring it on, or, you know, when people say it's like, wow, you know, boy, that traffic is horrible. You know, I could get in an accident on the way home. And it's like, oh my gosh, don't say that because you're putting it out in the universe and it'll happen. And so I think the universe is pretty good at knowing when you're kidding. Bottom line, I honestly believe that the universe does realize when you don't mean it, which is why when we have those spontaneous, you know, gee, I wish that person would just, you know, burst into flame or whatever, I could just choke them. The universe knows that that's not really what we mean, and therefore nothing is going to happen to that individual. It's not about what we feel we can control, what we feel we can manifest, because really control is kind of an illusion. We move along and we make choices. And some of the results of those choices are predictable, and some are not. So when you look at what it is that you're bringing into your life, and of course, it's always good to be in gratitude. If you have a time where it's, you know, you're in a lot of stress, or maybe you're angry at somebody, or maybe you're angry at whatever incarnation of the Creator that you hold, like, hey, I've, you know, done this, this, and this, and I haven't had my sack of money drop out of the sky. What's up with that? I did all the stuff I was supposed to. I made my vision board, and I did all of these things, but I didn't get what it was that I wanted. And when, you know, people fall into that, it's like, okay, well, guess what? You're just not supposed to have it now. It's through no fault of your own. And maybe right in this moment, this is really what you need. When we reach those dips in life, it is an opportunity for us, one, to practice using the tools that we are supposed to be developing. When there's this scenario of Mercury in retrograde, and I hear from so many people about, oh, you know, you're not supposed to sign contracts, and it's when communication is very difficult, and all of this other stuff, and oh, don't do anything, and, you know, stay in your house and don't talk to anybody with Mercury in retrograde. And while for those of you who embrace that and resonate with that, I mean, absolutely no disrespect. If it works for you, I love it for you. And maybe we can look at this from a different point of view, that the relative position of certain celestial bodies, if that is something that creates things like poor communication, which I'm not saying it can't, it is an opportunity to use the tools that you have. It is an opportunity to get off of the bench and get into the game. It's an opportunity to prove to yourself that all this meditation and self-improvement and self-help and balancing and granola and whatever it is that, you know, you embrace as your way of being able to navigate your life in a positive way, you know, that moves you forward, an empowered way, a spiritually enlightened way. If you never have a chance to test what it is that you are working to learn, if you never have a chance to challenge your abilities, what's the point? It's like, you know, the person who goes up on the mountain and gains enlightenment, if they never come off of that mountain and never deal with another human being, where is it that their growth is coming from? It's very easy to be spiritual when nobody is irritating you. So when you have an opportunity to say, okay, here's my chest full of tools, and when this person comes up to me and does this and it triggers something inside of me, I'm going to pick up one of my tools. I'm going to make a conscious choice as to how I respond. Maybe it's the tool that says, I'm just going to take a deep breath, say, well, I understand that that's your opinion, and walk away. Maybe I'll use that tool. maybe I'll use the tool that says, you know what, stuff it and walk away. Or maybe I'll use the tool where I come from a compassionate place and say, you know what, it sounds like maybe, you know, something's bothering you. You know, why don't we talk about it? All these different types of tools, and we don't judge the tools. The tool that says to say stuff it and walk away is no better or worse than the tool coming from that place of compassion. All it is a tool that has a different result. Now, if you're willing to deal with the consequences of those results, great, wonderful. Just decide from a place of choice which one of those results really serve what you want to accomplish. If you want to accomplish irritating somebody else, yeah, there are tools for that. If you want to accomplish gaining communication and maybe both of you coming out of this feeling better for the opportunity for conflict, then there are tools you can choose for that. But if you just never talk to anybody during that time, it's sort of pointless. The whole idea behind gaining these tools is to be able to use them. The whole idea of moving forward in whatever spiritual practice, if that is something that leads to a level of enlightenment and just being in this wonderful, warm, fuzzy place that you spread around to others, being able to face the challenges that come up and look at them as, all right, I've got a chance to really test this. And then after Mercury is out of retrograde, then you take a look at it and say, okay, how did I do? How did I do? All right, you know, in these situations, I did pretty good. In this one over here, a little more challenging, but I know what I can do differently to get the result I want. So yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I applaud Mercury in retrograde. I say bring it on, because every time it makes me stronger, it makes me better at what I choose to do, and it is the challenged muscle that gets stronger. You cannot strengthen a muscle by just sitting there, by not challenging it. As human beings, we are bound to a desire to do something to move forward. There's always that idea of, you know what, it could be better. And whether it's, I could have more money, you know, that could be better. My finances could be better. My spiritual practices could be better. I could be better at meditating. I could eat better. There's always that place of, you know what, this is the way it is, but I would really love it if it were this, which has its own light and shadow side. The light side of that is that it really inspires us to keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward, to always set that bar. You know, once you, you know, make that milestone, you set up another milestone. The problem with that is that it can set up this cycle of unrealized expectations where you end up with, it's never good enough. It's, you know, it's like, wow, you know, yeah, I got this new car, but oh man, look at that new car. You know, I don't like mine anymore. I want that one. So finding that balance point between, okay, I am going to always set myself in a place of, you know, looking forward for my next challenge, my next opportunity, that next mountain to climb, and not falling into, I'm never good enough. Because that's one of the big tricks. Because when we fall into that, I'm never going to be good enough, then it creates this downward spiral that will take you right into someplace you don't want to be, whether that be depression, whether that be dysfunction in your relationships. Looking at what is, and while on one hand saying, you know, I could be more, I could strive for more, but at the same time understanding that if I don't get that, I'm still pretty darn good, and I'm still, you know, absolutely blessed. And it is really interesting that you know, people have such a tendency sometimes, and we all do it. This is not, you know, no particular person or group. We all have those points where it becomes, oh, man, you know, why is the universe mad at me? You know, what spiritual being did I offend? And it was just starting to go well, and then I get hit again. So in interpreting that as, yep, the universe does not want me to succeed because just when I get, you know, within inches of it, something else happens to push me down again. Well, welcome to the human condition. And I am so tremendously sorry that those things happen. And I wish that I could wave a magic wand and for everybody to just be able to get a fleeting moment where everything is okay, and for them to be able to recognize that and to be able to say, all right, I mean, wouldn't that be tremendously cool if for, let's say, 5 minutes, everyone and everything took a breath and go, wow, I'm okay. Everything is okay. And then, you know, we get back into life, but just for those few minutes, to have the entire world do a collective sigh of, okay. And that's tremendously difficult because there are places in the world and there are people going through such tremendously, tremendously hard things. I mean, you know, not just, oh my gosh, the cable's out, but, you know, life and death and having to deal with that and having to deal with pain and the horrors of war and all of those things. And it is, it's so, so very hard to be able to find that balance point when it feels almost like, you know, just when you start to get balance, somebody tips you a little bit and then, you know, you're struggling with it again. Yeah, and it's really interesting because when I went to Piedras Negras, Mexico, and spent time assisting chiropractors, a group of chiropractors who were treating people for free down at a little tiny Red Cross office. There was about maybe 15 of us, and over 3 days, 1 year we treated 1,500 people, and the next year we treated 1,700 people. And the people that we encountered were just so tremendously grateful for everything. And they just, you know, they had very little, but the fact that we would come down there and take care of them and help them out, they said, this is good, this is worth the wait for a year. And as we talked to people, they would laugh and joke and everything. And, you know, I think it's like, oh, my God, how hard your life must be. But they viewed it as, well, it's just life. It's the way you live. I encountered the same thing when I went to a small village in the Brazilian rainforest, and I spent some time there learning from and working with the village healers. And, I mean, this was a very out of the way. And, you know, they didn't have, you know, a lot of modern conveniences and things, and yet they were just so happy and loving, and, you know, they dealt with things, and, you know, they just moved on. There wasn't that attachment to things being a certain way, because it seemed that because they lived a life where at any time something really bad could happen, one of the, you know, snakes in the river could, you know, get someone, or a jaguar, or, you know, an illness could come. And, you know, they just accepted, well, that is a part of life, is that place of having to lose, you know, something you love. And it's, you know, part of it is when we hit those low points, when we hit those dips, one of the first things that hits is, the attachment that I have to something is threatened. I can't have what I want. I can't have what I feel I need. And it's that sense of having something taken away, whether it's, you know, you're driving along and suddenly, you know, the check engine light comes on and it's like, and as soon as that thing comes on, I start thinking, okay, this is going to be expensive, which means that the money I have to put in for that is money that I can't use for something else. And, you know, for people who it's like maybe, you know, you are budgeted down to the penny. And when something happens, it's like, oh, man, I do not need this right now. And how am I going to manage this? How do I navigate this new variable that's come in? And it's really easy to see that as, you know, just like, you know what, there is no upside to this. And when we look at it, the way that you solve that problem is something that's going to give you strength and give you wisdom. And when you get to the other side of it, it's like, wow, I had no idea that I could pull that rabbit out of the hat. I had no idea that I could somehow turn this around. And you feel stronger and you feel empowered and you feel like, whoa, I am better and more capable than I thought I was. So when we look at those things that come into our lives, and, you know, it's okay, well, it's not okay, but it's easier to deal with something that hits us as opposed to when we have our loved ones hit the dip, because that adds a new facet to it. That twists it, because now it's not just that, well, I guess I can do without. It's, oh, my gosh, here is someone who I care about so much, and they're hitting a hard spot. How do we hold that space for them? One solution would be to come in and say, okay, I will do whatever it takes for me to take this problem away from you and pull it onto myself, which, you know, that is an option. There's no judgment on any of these, and, you know, please understand. And what is it that they're going to learn from it? How can that hardship that they're enduring be something that allows them to step into the world as a stronger human being? And that brings in the tricky side of watching somebody else hit one of the dips. Because maybe that's a dip that they need more than anything else. And they need to stand in the fire and they need to go, okay, how do I solve this? Because the instinct is to go find somebody who can solve it for you, somebody who can make it go away. And maybe it doesn't, you know, need to go away, and maybe it's definitely not supposed to. Sometimes we get stuff and we have to deal with it, because otherwise that's going to keep coming around. The scenario is going to repeat until we learn what it is we need to learn to be able to move through it and have it be something that we take control of as opposed to it controlling us. So watching somebody go through it, holding that space for them, and what I mean by holding that space is by allowing that person to go through it, and it's like you're surrounding them in a bubble that will, you know, it's like, okay, here's your safe space to do this work. And I really love you so much, and I really want you to be able to hold on and believe in yourself. You are capable of doing this. So whether it's yourself or whether it's somebody else, it's important to love the dips, because at the bottom of it, it may be dark, it may be stinky, it may be, you know, really unpleasant. But you can take that and use that and learn the lesson that it wants to teach you and become a more empowered individual, to become stronger, to allow your family, friends, and loved ones to become stronger. So I encourage you to, you know, take a look at those low points and look for the gift that lay in it, because maybe even if the only gift was that you survived, that's a pretty big gift, because you know if it comes around again, you will survive. So that is our little bit of insight, and please do with it what you want. But I encourage you to look at it. I encourage you to take that and find the gem. There's an old joke about, you know, the kid who was this total optimist, and his parents wanted to teach him that life was hard and unpleasant. So for Christmas, they just put a big pile of manure next to the tree. And so the kid walks out, and he sees this giant pile of manure. And they said, well, there you go. That's what Santa brought you. So the kid squeals in delight and begins, he goes and gets a shovel and he starts shoveling at the giant pile of manure. And the parents go, what are you so happy about? He goes, well, with all of this, there's got to be a pony under there somewhere. So thank you for calling in. Now, it looks like I have a call and you've got a question. So what I want you to do is I would like you to hold on, or if you can go into the chat room. Make sure that Kina has your number, so I will give you a call and we can talk and I can answer your question. It's just that we're coming to the very end of the show, so hang on, hang on, don't go anywhere. And we'll try to pick you up after the show. Let's see, otherwise, I have some activities coming up. We've got the Druidry classes that are coming up, and for those of you in the Bay Area, I would love to, you know, see you guys at some of these events. And as always, anytime you come to one of my events and tell me that you are a Healing House Radio listener, I will give you a free copy of my book, Frequencies, and you get a chance to have us do a chat. If you'd like more information about what's going on, then you can contact me through my website, www.the-healing-house.com. And you can also go onto my book website, which is frequenciesthebook.com. If you want to find out about the classes I'm teaching, you can go to meetup.com and look up the Druid's Grove. And you'll be able to find the classes that I'm doing and different events that are coming up. So, if you would like me to come to your area, I love to travel, so you can contact me through those websites, and or you can email me at Dr. Eileen, and that's dr.aylen@the-healing-house.com. So, let's see. We've got another couple of minutes, so let's bring on... Let's see, is this Nolas?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Well, for the last few minutes, did you have a question?
Yes, ma'am, I sure did. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question is, I realize that there's a disparity between the races when it comes to medical analysis. My question is, what... as far as herbs, I don't know if you spoke on this earlier. I just happened to come online and I saw that, you know, you were on air. But what is a good herb or any type of other procedure? I know you just mentioned frequencies. I didn't get the gist of what all you were talking about with frequencies. But I'm trying to deal with high blood pressure. What type of herbs or this frequency application that you're talking about would best suit melanated people?
Okay. Well, frequencies has to do more with an energetic type of work, and it deals with finding that balance point. And I know that there's relationships between, you know, that sense of the balance in your body and how your body reacts to things. Now, right off the top of my head, one thing that is really good for that is actually watermelon.
Watermelon, okay.
Watermelon. I mean, it is amazing because that can have a huge effect. And let's see. Tell you what. Why don't you – I want you to stay online, okay? I'm going to put you on hold, and then you and I can chat after, okay? All right. Okay. So just hold on.
All right.
All right. So everyone else, I look forward to talking with you next week. This is Dr. Eileen at Healing House Radio. Take care.